forward to the day that you will send your pastor to come and speak to our pastors in India. And when he asked me, he says, would you speak from Matthew chapter 6, verse 10? I wish you would have given me verse 9. 9 would have been easier. But when he said that, I says, oh no, he gave verse 10. So I'd like for you to please open your Bible to book of Matthew chapter 6. If you have the right Bible, it's page 1028. Matthew chapter 6. And I'd like to actually go from verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you know the disciples did not ask Jesus to teach them how to preach? They didn't even ask Jesus to teach them how to sing. They asked Jesus, would you please teach us how to pray? In other words, there is a right way to pray and there is a wrong way to pray. That's why we need to be taught by the Lord. Do you know what is the shortest prayer in the Bible? How about which one is the longest prayer in the Bible? The prayer of Jesus in John 17 can be read in 5 minutes. The prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple can be read in 6 minutes. The prayer of Nehemiah is the longest prayer in the Bible. Nehemiah chapter 9 verses 5 through 38. The prayer of Peter, I believe, is the shortest prayer in the Bible. Lord, save me. But what is the most difficult prayer in the Bible? I believe it is found in our text today, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your will be done. Before we talk about that, I'd like to give you a definition of God's will. What is God's will? God's will is what God says He will do. And His will is that we do what He tells us to do. God's Word and God's Spirit cannot be opposite. God telling us what to do is the will of God. For religious people of Jesus' day, the concept of God's fatherhood was hard to grasp. They were used to the word Lord. They were used to the word King. They were used to the word Judge. But they did not understand, they could not even fathom the idea that He is our Father. Old Testament barely spoke, maybe less than half a dozen of times, God as the Father. But in the New Testament, it mentions several times, God is our Father. Father, God's all-inclusive name. Before we study today, I'd like to tell you, people often ask me, Dr. Ricky, how do I know the will of God? Have you asked that question? I hope it'll be answered today. For some people that I know, some Christians, great theologians, they always come to me and they want to study Matthew chapter 24 and Daniel chapter 9. They want to understand portions of the Bible that they don't understand. Let me help you with that. To understand what you don't understand, first obey what you understand. Let me repeat that again. To understand the will of God is first obey what you understand about His will. Whatever He tells you is His will. The hardest prayer is mentioned in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. But before we talk about that, I'm reminded of this little boy who prayed this prayer. A Father who is in heaven, how does He know my name? God loves all of us, but God loves each of us also. We can know the will of God. We can know the leadership of God. But before we talk about what is it to pray, your will be done, I want to mention some false things about praying your will be done. One of the false conceptions people have, the will of God is a detailed roadmap of your life. False. Praying In the will of God is not the roadmap of your life, but it is a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Will of God is designed to make your lifestyle miserable, false. It is to make your life magnificent, filled with love, joy, peace, and His presence. The will of God can be known only by a certain group of people, false. People like pastors, missionaries, theologians. God has a plan for everyone, even the wicked and even the evil individuals. The will of God is difficult to discover. God hides His will. False. The secret things belongs to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us, to our children forever. The reality is that we do not find the will of God, but the will of God finds us. Here is the problem. When we ask God's will to be done in us, we are asking that our will be overturned if necessary. Here's another problem. The will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven, this must be a reference to angelic being in heaven. When we study Psalms 103 verse 20, bless the Lord, O His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Did you know, members of Calvary, believers, the enemy of God's will is often our will. Do we want Jesus, or do we want what Jesus can give? Will of God is Jesus Himself. When we talk about heaven, God's will is always done. It is done instantaneously in heaven. It is done completely in heaven. It is done joyfully in heaven. It is done without any hesitation or questions. But God's will is rarely done on earth willingly. After all, there are 7 billion people living on this earth. There are 7 billion wills. Still only one will in heaven. Just look around you. Who is interested today in doing the will of God? How often do we sincerely pray, "Your will be done by me"? It almost seems like a hopeless prayer request. Let your will be done. And I'd like to give you 4 reasons today why I believe that when we pray, sometimes it is just a hopeless request. Number one, to pray your will be done means you're relinquishing the rights of your will to another. In other words, you must be submissive to God. Only one will can be done at a time, either yours or God's. The Apostle Paul is a perfect example of how we should respond to God. We see when he was saved on the way to Damascus, he asked God 2 things. Who are you, Lord? And what is it that you want me to do? The rest of his life was consumed doing the will of God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It can be understood and obeyed. Believers, listening to God comes with consequences. You know, if I tell my boys, both of them went to Calvary, if I tell my boys to do something and they don't do it, it's not that they didn't understand my will. They just didn't want to do it. God's will is so clear. It is written in His word. We got to obey what is written. Whatever He tells, that is His will. Prayer is not asking God that He do something that He's not willing to do. But prayer is asking God to enable you to do exactly what He tells you to do. Prayer is the heart of worship. I believe some tears are liquid prayers. Reason number 2, to pray your will be done means you do not doubt that God intends the best for you. In other words, when you pray your will be done, you must have the confidence in God. If you do not have the complete trust that God's will is best, you will never be able to pray sincerely, "Let your will be done." Our biggest question is not, is there a God? Most people believe there is. Our biggest question is this. Is there a God in heaven who cares about me? Even many Christians might answer that question with a no. He really doesn't care about me. A God who is there? Yes. A God who cares about me? Maybe not. But as long as you doubt God, that prayer will be impossible to pray. Doing the will of God is not easy, friends, but it is enjoyable. I love what David said in Psalms 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O God. Joy comes from knowing that God makes you to accomplish, gives you the grace to accomplish the purpose for which he called you. God telling us what to do is his will. Number three, to pray your will be done means that it involves suffering and pain. Therefore, you must be strengthened by God. Let me repeat that again. To pray your will be done means that it involves suffering and pain. Believers of Calvary, the will of God cannot take you where the power of God cannot keep you. This was true of Jesus, our Lord, who wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane. Wrestled in prayer in the garden. His hour had come, finally come. A threatening cloud of darkness hovers over him. All of its vileness, all the atrocities of human beings, the flood of their insolent iniquities, the viciousness of their despicable depravity is all present in the cup. He recoils. Then he prays, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not mine, but thine be done. This was so hard for him to pray that the writer of Matthew in chapter 26, he mentioned it twice. In verse 39 and in verse 42, Jesus asked the disciples, can you not tarry with me? Then the Bible says he went a little further and he prayed, remove this cup from me. Then he prayed again. These are not the words of unbelief. These are the words of faith. They're the words of a man who understands fully what it will cost to do the will of God. John chapter 6 verse 38. For I've come to do the work of him who has sent me. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who has sent me. Our Lord Jesus is exhibit A of what it costs to pray, your will be done. It cost him his life. No wonder he struggled in Gethsemane. We struggle with it too. Many Christians that I know in my personal life do not want to know the will of God. They really don't. They only want God to rubber stamp their will. It's like for many Christians, Christ is like an architect. They do not want his design. They only want him to redesign what they already have in their mind. Finally, the fourth reason, to pray your will be done goes against everything this world stands for. Therefore, you must be separated to God. It almost seems that God has abandoned the world to satanic forces. But God is not sitting idly by. He's still in charge and he's still accomplishing his eternal plans and purposes. I like what C.S. Lewis said. There are two kinds of people in the world. Only two kinds. Those who say to God, your will be done. And those to whom God says in the end, have it your way, your will be done. Which kind are you? 1 John chapter 2 verse 17. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Don't fret. Ask God to guide you every day of your life. I love Psalms 86 verse 11 through 13. Teach me your way, O God, that I may walk in your truth. And unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God. With my whole heart, I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. Many people ask me, how do I know the will of God that if he wants me to buy a pickup truck or a sedan? How about a house in Columbus or a house by the beach? Well, I don't have a verse for that. But I'll tell you one thing. The steps of the man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. You want God's leading? You want God to show you his will? He will instruct you if you obey him. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. But here's the warning from our Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? For that is the will of my Father in John chapter 6, verse 40. That everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. I will raise him on the last day. Will you pray today with a sincere heart? Lord, let your will be done in my life. David Brainerd, who died at the age of 29, carrying the gospel to the Native Americans of New England, he wrote this poem. I go on not knowing I would not if I might. I'd rather walk in the dark with God than go alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith with him than to go alone with sight. This is Samuel Thomas' version of Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Lord, I cannot have it all, but you can have all of me. Let your will be done. As I said in the beginning, doing the will of God is not easy, but it is enjoyable. 2001, I was with my father and we were in South India with a team from Liberty University. I'll never forget, it was an evening crusade meeting. My dad wanted us to get plenty of chairs because he knew that so many people will come. Guess how many chairs we rented? Just guess. We rented 5,000 chairs. The service was supposed to start at 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, it started pouring. No, I think it started raining at 6. And of course, M.A. Thomas looks at his son, Samuel Thomas. He says, son, why don't you pray that God stops this rain? I'll never forget praying. And after I finished praying, it started pouring. That wasn't a good spiritual test. So he looked at me and he said, son, why don't you ask your friends of Liberty University if they would sing a couple songs because they were sounds of liberty. And the guy who was in charge, Steve Tafawa, he looked at me. He says, go and tell your father. It's a $200,000 equipment. We have covered it under the plastic. And we don't want to take any chance. Why not ask him that we can come here tomorrow? So, of course, I had to be the carrier of that message. I went to my father. I said, Dad, they think we should do it tomorrow. He says, go and ask him how much does it cost to give me one mic. So, of course, I'm walking in that rain. Obviously, my hair became flat. So as I'm walking in that rain back to the place, they said, okay, he can use the mic. I'll never forget Dr. Ricky. He reached out his napkin from his pocket, M.A. Thomas, and he put it on his head, and he walked to the stage. And of course, in Indian culture, if your dad is walking in the rain, you don't sit in the car like a snob. You're supposed to stand outside. So I'm standing outside getting soaked, waiting for him to get to the platform. Friends, he preached for 59 minutes. Now, wait a minute. How many chairs? 5,000 chairs. What's on the chair? Raindrops. Not one chair was occupied. All chairs were empty. He preached for 59 minutes, and he came back to the car. And smart Alec Sam had to ask a question. Do you feel satisfied? You feel happy? He said, yeah. Son, I know what I did. I did the will of God. This was 2001. 2008, he gets a heart attack, stroke, while he was in the U.S. We finally took him to India for treatment. And he was taken to South India in Kerala. We put him in a hospital for about 6 months there. The last day of the hospital before he was shifted to his headquarters in Kota, North India, where Dr. Ricky's been, as we were leaving that day, I'll never forget this, my dad's younger brother, my dad's younger sister, and my two sisters were in the room. The nurse comes in and tells us, there is an individual who wants to meet your father. Would you let him come? I said, sure, he can come in. We didn't have this virus then. I said, you can let him come in. He comes in. You have to understand this Indian culture. As soon as he comes in, he touches my dad's feet and he kisses and he cries. Not that he is idolizing my father, but that was just the respect he had for him. Dad cannot speak. His right movement was paralyzed. And he says, sir, you may not know me. But in 2001, when you were preaching in that rain, I was standing under the tree. You could not see me, but I was on my way to commit suicide. And I said to my friend, this is a crazy man preaching in the rain. Maybe he has something important to say. Why not I just stay here and listen to him? He said, sir, that rainy day I gave my life to Christ. Ever since then, I was discipled by the local church. Then they paid my way to go to the Bible college. I'm now pastoring a church with 175 believers. Friends, one of the ways to know the will of God is to lead people to Christ. Let the lost come to know Him. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I cannot have it all, but you can have all of me.